Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. What a week it has been. What a week indeed. Hearings, check. More insane hearings, check. Distractions, lots of those. In fact, an entire press corps going to New York to get away from Washington to see a idiotic press conference, check. Steal health care from 30 million people, check. Huge tax cut for the very wealthy, even better yet, still, check. The question is, you know, where do we go from here? What's next week going to bring us if we've done all of the repeal, replace, dither, whatever they're going to be doing? Just crazy stuff. But here to talk a little bit about this and give us some thoughts on his view of where next Friday, a week from today, the end of the world begins. That's why I've asked Pete Dominic, comedian and host of Stand Up with Pete Dominic, to come talk with us. Pete, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thank you for having me back on your excellent show. My sources are telling me next week President-elect Trump apparently is going to have a press conference about something related to licensing fees for clouds. He wants to privatize precipitation and to help rebuild America's infrastructure. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that press conference and to see how that goes, licensing of participation, right. Precipitation in clouds.
Would this be the clouds that drop down the yellow rain?
The yellow raining golden showers will be apparently those types of licensing fees there'll be such a cost for people like you and I can't even seriously look at the golden clouds because only folks that are making, you know, the top 0.1% are even going to be thinking about that. It's like, you know, it's like the type of person that pays $100,000 a year for a country club, or they can send their kids to private school for $40,000. Those are really the golden showers.
Yeah.
Licensing fees that we're talking about. It should be interesting. I think it's terrifying. I think clouds should be for all Americans, all people, all humans, and all other critters. But, you know, we live in a new world, Rick.
Yeah, I'm pro-cloud. I think, you know, you should have the right to a cloud. Absolutely. Why not? I mean, we don't have the right to health care. We don't have the right to work. We don't have the right
I've heard you say in the past you are anti-cumulus cloud. And now I think we've a little bit of hypocrisy here. Let's be honest.
All right, a little bit. But I'm still coming around to the pro-cloud side.
Everybody changes their mind.
Since we can't do anything else. And look, I mean, the big news this week, in my view, we're stealing health care from 30 million people and giving the wealthy a very huge, very big tax break.
Well, the way, you know, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, extending, you know, Medicaid expansion and creating the exchanges and being able to subsidize them, that's not free. You know, it costs a lot of money, and the way to pay for it, and that's the interesting thing about Obamacare, it was paid for. I mean, and it actually came in under budget, as a matter of fact, because not every state that should took the Medicaid expansion. But the way that it was paid for was on taxes on the highest income level Americans, earning Americans, as well as things like medical device manufacturers, pharmaceutical companies, and so on. They were paying for those subsidies. They were also, all of them, getting a whole bunch of new customers, too. It did cost a lot of money. Wealthy folks were paying for it, much to the – and a lot of people think that you know, our taxes went up to pay for it. They didn't.
Nope.
Unless you make over $250,000 or your medical device manufacturing company, et cetera. And now those people not only aren't going to pay for the Affordable Care Act and whatever doesn't replace it, right? But the rest of us, well, most Americans, are going to both lose their health insurance coverage and certainly have to pay a lot more for whatever they're able to piece together. So it's really, really crazy. But the truth is, to water it down, Donald Trump is going to give really wealthy folks a tax cut. And the rest of us that have been able to get now covered through the individual market will no longer potentially be able to get it. I don't see how they replace that. I didn't even think they want to replace that.
Nope, they
want
to go back to pay or die. No, they want to go back to pay or die. It's that simple. And the reality is, as I said yesterday, we no longer have to be burdened with health insurance, but we still have to have our illnesses. We have to keep those. The insurance, not so much, though.
Yeah, it's a really weird and disappointing ideological thing that folks that are more conservative minded or more even independent minded, like entrepreneurial minded folks, people who want to go out on their own, start their own business, they can't really afford often to do that because they can't take the risk of leaving their job, which is where they're getting the insurance. I mean, this is, most folks agree that your insurance should not be tied to your employer, progressive and conservative Americans, if they think hard about health care. But that's unfortunately the situation, the scenario, and it makes it very difficult to both pursue your dreams and be a responsible person as well, you know, paying for health care for yourself and covering your family. And it shouldn't be that way, and we shouldn't be disagreeing on this, and every other country in the world thinks we're crazy for it. Talk to anybody in Canada or Israel or the UK or Australia, and this fight that we're having over health care, they don't get it. And even on the right, they don't get it. And they also, you know what they do get? They get better care at half the cost by almost every way you measure it. And this is just an insane argument. And the Affordable Care Act wasn't perfect, and but it was paid for. And it was paid for by a lot of wealthy folks who are now going to get a break, and the rest of us are going to lose what we had.
Yeah, the top 400 earners evidently are going to get $7 million on average each.
Well, good for them, you know? They deserve it.
Another $7 million. But here's the thing. Those other countries, they've got better outcomes, and they've got health care that covers everybody, especially all the kids. But they don't have profit. And you got to have profit in health care, right?
Well, let's divide it. They have profit in their health care. They don't have it in their health insurance so much. I mean, some of them obviously have, Switzerland and France. Now that you can buy Israel, I believe you can buy health insurance, additional health insurance. In terms of health insurance, there's no profit. And why should there be? Where does that even come from? And if you really want to be free market, by the way, let us buy into the government plan that Canada has. They call it Medicare, ironically enough. Let us buy into Australia's government plan. If it's really free market, then you would not only allow us to buy insurance across state lines, even though health insurance companies themselves haven't advocated for that, but you'd let us buy insurance from Lords of London. But that's obviously not an option, and I wonder why.
Why can't
I buy health insurance from Canada? I can buy a car from there or drugs from there. I have to go there and get them, and they're cheaper. But I can buy anything else, but not health insurance.
So you're going to take that across state line things, across national lines, because I've been arguing that across state lines things, that's kind of a race to the bottom, because they're all going to incorporate in places like Delaware or South Dakota.
Exactly, yeah.
All
the credit card companies, and you know, all you have to know is how the credit card companies have all aggregated in a couple of states that don't regulate them. That's exactly what health insurance would do. And yeah, it'd be a race to the bottom. And the people who need health insurance, which is always the most ridiculous and ironic and sad thing, the people that need health insurance most in this country are the people that have the hardest time getting it. And I always go to the most extreme example of the child who was born with a congenital illness. What did that kid do? What choice did that kid make to have someday be told that, I'm sorry, we're not going to be covering you because you cost a lot more money because of the way that you were born? I mean, it's so un-American, I want to say, but maybe it's very American.
But we love the children, Pete. I mean, we're family values, Christian nation. Come on.
Well, not everybody's children. You know, there's, good point. There's some children. I'm not going to lie to you. My daughter's
some friend. We could probably get rid of, right? Some are quite unsightly, right?
Well, this kid gave my daughter a hard time on the bus the other day. I'm just saying, if I could pick and choose.
I've been there. I know exactly what you mean. But here's the thing. I mean, when you look at this, I don't think... When you get down to the bottom line, I don't think most people really, or maybe they did. I don't think most voters went to the polls seeing this kind of radical change this quickly and not having anything. I mean, the thing that's surprising to me is that the Republicans have been, fantasizing over repealing this. It's been a fetish for them for so long to get rid of it that they're not gunning to go. I know if something's on my mind for 15 minutes and I get the chance to do it, man, I'm on it. 6 years, eight, they do nothing?
Well, but what are we talking about? What's on your mind for 15 minutes? Making a pizza, Rick, that you're going to finish? I understand that you're going to follow through with that, but we're talking about health insurance reform. This is complex stuff, and that's really the craziest thing about it. This is such a difficult, giant issue, and I think most Americans, unfortunately, don't understand it really well, and healthcare, I mean, and health insurance and how it's regulated and how it's bought and sold and how we're covered and how we're not. And I mean, the idea that Republicans think that they're going to be able to take insurance away from their conservative Republican constituents, many of which don't even know that they have quote, Obamacare. They think they have the Affordable Care Act, which is something different. It's not. Or that in Kentucky or Tennessee, it's got a different name. And so they don't realize they have it. When they, you know, lose that, will they blame Republicans? Will they blame President Trump or not? That's the question. Yeah. Donald Trump has been great at telling people whatever they want to hear. Politicians all do that, of every stripes. But this guy's been a master at just saying, things are going to be better. You know what? When I am elected, no more freezing rain. I don't like it. It's gone. No terrorism, no burglary, no unhappiness. We're going to end death. No more death. No more pets dying. And people just simply go, wow, this guy's, he's a winner. We're going to win again. Yep. My cat's not going to die. I mean, he simplifies everything. I'm joking, obviously, but he simplifies everything. Tells people what they want to hear. He has no idea what a deductible is, what a copay is, what everybody else deals with on a regular basis anytime they have to access health care. His doctor just comes to the top floor and asks him to cough. That's not how most Americans live.
Exactly. And we live in very different worlds. But here's the thing. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think most people think that he's going to solve all these problems because he's now the new decider guy. But what's scary about him is very thin skin, very vindictive. And I wanted to ask you, kind of the last line of questioning I had for you, you know, as a comedian, as someone who does what you do, are you concerned that, you know, that this turns? Because, you know, I just saw yesterday Congressman Weber from Texas said that the guy from CNN should be fired and he should be never allowed to another press briefing for having the audacity.
No, I'm not. I mean, I really hope he's listening to my appearance on your show, to my SiriusXM show, because if Donald Trump name checks me, it won't be great. You know, the death threats will suck, but I might sell out a theater for the first time. So, you know, I mean, I have no fear. If Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, could say that he didn't have fear and that he'd seen the mountain, you know, top, I think I can too. So, no, I'm not afraid. My voice can't be stifled. You can threaten me. You can, you know, but please, by all means, tweet about me and let everybody know that I'm performing in Westport, Connecticut this weekend. If you do, Mr. President-elect.
If you're up in the Westport, Connecticut area, I highly suggest stop in and see Pete.
Saturday night.
There you go. But no, seriously, I mean, at the end of this, I mean, there are some, you know, I get people emailing me all the time. Aren't you worried? Aren't you concerned? And like you, no, not really. But, you know, institutionally, the fear is that this guy has such control and such power over our media, evidently, since they can't even ask a question without the threat of someone wanting to fire them.
No, I don't want to just dismiss what happened at the press conference this week and the way he dismissed Jim Acosta, called it fake news and moved on. That's bad stuff.
He moved on to actual fake news. I mean, that's the other part of it.
No, well, I mean, I don't even use the phrase fake news. At this point, it's been co-opted. Nobody knows what the hell it means. I have a pretty clear understanding and definition, but as soon as you say it, it's just now a buzzword, and people have all their own definitions, and including opinion. Opinion is fake news. I mean, I've had a conversation, and I'm analyzing things, joking about things, giving you my take, my passionate, informed take on things, but it's not, you know. It's my opinion. It's my thoughts on things. And I'm no policy wonk or expert, but that's not fake news. It's hopefully a thought-provoking conversation that people get something out of. And we have so lost, I think. We only had fake news for just a few minutes, and now it's already been teared up and redefined, and everybody has their own definition. But we should be obviously vigilant. And I wish there was some solidarity at that press conference. I wish the other journalists would have said, no, you've got to answer the question of Jim Acosta, not because I love CNN and I worked there for a long time, or Jim or anything else, but I mean, you know, they come for CNN, then they come for everybody else. You know, that old parable.
Pastor,
I mean,
Martin,
that's the truth. So we have to be vigilant. We have to stay, I think, in solidarity and as folks who have the, you know, the opportunity to ask questions, speak truth to power. We've got to defend each other, even if we don't necessarily like. I mean, there's certainly a whole lot of media outlets that have credentials to be in the White House press briefing that I almost wish didn't have credentials, but they do, and they get to ask sometimes their bizarre, crazy questions to this current president, Obama spokesman, and others, and that should be the way it works.
I'm with you. You know, at the end of it, you used a word there that I think every generation has to relearn for itself and you know, recommit to, the idea of solidarity, the idea that you know, I am kind of my brother's keeper, and that we are all in this somewhat together.
that I just cannot possibly see life or work any other way without that. Call me narrow-minded and opinionated, but solidarity is the most important thing, and advocating for each other and paying it forward and looking out for others and mentoring. Yes, absolutely. You and I have always done that for each other, and I know a lot of listeners, you know, do that for their own brothers and sisters, regardless of their racial background, their age, their sexual orientation. We've got to advocate for each other, and we all, you know, selfishly, if you want to say it, we all get something out of that, but I don't have to explain how organized labor works to you or your audience.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Pete, it's always great talking with you. I wish you the best. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Anytime, Rick. You're the best. Thanks for having me on,
Thanks
buddy.
Thanks so much. Pete Dominic, host of Stand Up with Pete Dominic, SiriusXM Insight. Also, like he said, if you're around in Connecticut on Saturday, show up and see Pete. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.